Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Strap yourself in
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Lester Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Lester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Are you ready? I'm saying, are you ready?
Hello.
Good evening, fellow Fox fans. How the devil are you? Welcome along. It's been ages. It's been absolutely ages. Welcome along. And I promise tonight, well, I'm going to try and promise not to mention or talk about VAR. But honestly, for those of you that have been watching the last few, or well, the shows for this week, I don't know that this has got anything to do with it at all, but I've just logged on to Twitter. And you know, at the side, it says, you might like, and it's given me Victor Meldrew. Do you think that's personal? could be this week, could be. Hey, I'm Chris. Good evening. How the devil are you? You're watching Lester Till I Die TV. We are on Facebook at Lester Till I Die, the group, on Twitter at Lester TID, and if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're not, please try and get over onto YouTube and give us a subscribe and press that subscribe and smash the likes button. We are on Lester Till I Die TV. Still happy about Millwall? nice to get back to winning ways, wasn't it? Maybe, just maybe, Brendan will have learnt one or two things from that game. We can but hope. But we've got this tomorrow. Now, before we start, Craig, I can see what the audience can't see, which is you in the green room. What were you just doing? It looked like you were doing the Krypton Factor in the background there.
I was, yeah. I was doing a little climb around. I was opening the window because it gets a bit hot in here. When I know it looks like there's no lights. It looks a little bit dark. There is lights. They seem to have a life of their own, as you could see then. Sometimes they go bright or whatever. So I was adjusting the lights, opening the window, settling in, and then doing my favourite hobby, which is for the first 5 minutes of every show, looking behind you and seeing what I can work out that's new, because that your Leicester City Christmas gift shop seems to be overflowing with produce.
I am turning into the diddly squat shopper. No, I have a shelf now, as you can
I
see.
Know. Yes. Yeah, I'm very impressed.
Yes, which came free of charge. Yesterday, it nearly changed the studio because I had a table come round. I was buying one on Facebook Marketplace, and they brought it round, spent an hour trying to put it together, realised they had to go and get a piece they'd left at home, came back, realised I hadn't got two screws, so they couldn't screw it in properly with the Allen keys and what have you, and ended up taking it away, and I had to put the table that I've got now, that I'd taken the bits back together again. So, hey, it was all fun here in Diddley Squatland.
Well, there's more stuff on that shelving unit than I saw on Sainsbury's shelves at the start of the lockdown.
Well, just come to me. You want to see my drawers? You open them, they're full of toilet rolls.
Yeah, I don't want to see your drawers, Chris.
Now, it's funny you should start on that, because I do feel that it's only fair, not saying just because you're on here, that we do have to give a warning out.
Warning, the following video contains explicit language which may be offensive to some viewers or inappropriate for children. The content within this video is intended for mature audiences only.
And that was just for you there, Craig.
I think that's the only time that the word mature will be used in any reference to us.
I did wonder about that, actually. I did. I may have to get the wording changed on that.
Yeah.
I recall many things. I was thinking of the Chuckle Brothers, so to me, to you.
You're just comparing me to another dead person. That's all you're doing.
Can I say? Well, it's the grey hair. TM, good evening to you. Thanks
evening,
for
TM.
Joining us. How the devil are you? Daniel, my two favourite. How are you? If anybody wants, let me just say, if anybody's got an evening where they've got nothing planned, get on over to Turf Morehouse TV and look at the Leicester Burnley preview, which we did last night, which usually is about 30, 40 minutes. Went on for 2.5 hours. And about 5 minutes of those, we actually thought football. But Daniel, all I can say is, hello, Mrs. Riley. pass my best wishes on to your mother, Daniel.
that's high praise indeed there, Chris. You know, just starting that with, if you've got nothing else to do.
you think we go off topic. That wasn't a small diversion. That was going to the Isle of Wight when you're heading up to Edinburgh. That was
right. Okay.
Kate will tell you. Kate was there. She had to put up with it all. Good evening, Kate. Thanks for joining us. JJ. Good evening to you.
I wonder if
that is the JJ. Do you think? We better just in case. How's the injury coming along?
Well, for people of a certain age, JJ is Julian Joachim.
Of course it was, yes. I'm not of a certain age, you see. I am I'm not mature and I'm not young, and you know, I what can I say?
Yeah, fill in the blanks, viewers.
Yeah. Dan says, of course, I've got no notes to do. Oh, it starts. It starts. I should just say, as well as welcome along to YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter viewers, we will all say good evening to anybody that's listening to this post show on podcast, which we're up to over 8,500 listens on. So I'm really, really pleased. Wow. With how that is going. And you can see there, we're available on Google, Amazon, Apple iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, and Podcast Addict, just hidden at the bottom there. And that was all down to you there, Craig, who mentioned podcasts at the start.
Did. You're welcome. Yes. Thanks for everyone who's listened.
Yeah. Only because you didn't want to see me. That was all it was.
Nothing to do with it at all. And I'll be interested if Dan carries on watching for his views on my one to watch from the Burnley squad when we get onto that.
I think, without giving anything away, having actually spoken football for 5 minutes in yesterday's show, he might be. He might well think you've chosen a good one there.
Right.
JJ, unfortunately not the real one. No, I live in hope. I live in hope. If you want to talk about real players, though, Tuesday, 9 o'clock, tune in for the new and exclusive show on Leicester Till I Die TV, X on the Pitch. See what I did there? Hey, myself and Julian Watts there, 9 o'clock on Tuesday nights, and we're looking back at the past week of Leicester City and all things football, and having a chat with an expert. Not that you're not an expert, Craig, but
none taken, Chris, none taken.
No. But you are my wise old owl.
Thank you very much. I'll take that faint praise as well. You're full of it tonight.
Is it sage or owl? I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? You know.
I'm happy with either. I think Sage was an owl in that TV show. Hector, not Hector's house. The herb garden. The herbs.
Hector's house.
The owl. The owl was called Sage.
Let's not go on the TV programs. So you know, I'll only bring the flashing blade up.
Having said that, now you know you do remind me a little bit of Constable Knapweed.
Okay, I'll let me write
you Google
that down.
That later.
Captain what?
Or, I think it was Captain Knapweed, or there was Bayleaf the gardener. You take your pick.
I'm not going to get these. Aren't sort of like Swedish X-rated movies, are they? You just make
it up? It was a very prime time kids' TV. This was back in the day.
Back in the day, black and white. Was it, by any chance?
Yeah. I really should have gone to school.
We'll get onto the flower pot men in a minute.
No.
Bill turned around to Ben and went slobber lob 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 lob, and Ben says, "Should you piss?"
I've been on this show on numerous occasions, Chris, where you've squirmed in your chair and I thought you've done a little weed.
Hey. Oh, you can smell it from there, can you?
Anyway, I put that warning back up.
Hi, lads, you can talk fast. Only got 10 pence left in the electric meter. Hey, we're not going on the 2.5 hours that we went on with Dan last night, hopefully. That was, I must admit, I don't think I've ever laughed so much at a show as I did last night. And just for you, I'll bring that up into the corner there. There you go. There you go. Hey, in the midst of all this, though, we have got a football match breaking out tomorrow. Yes, it is Leicester City versus, almost bottom of the table, Burnley. At the King Power Stadium tomorrow. It's a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, and the match is not televised live. It's not on national radio. So if you want to listen to it, it's if you're in the county of Leicester, BBC Radio Leicester, or if you fancy something a little bit different, or you're outside of the county of Leicestershire, you can pick it up free of charge on lcfc.com/radio. Craig, would you describe this as a must-win?
or for Burnley and their relegation hopes.
I was thinking for us, but I think it is definitely for them. But for us, would you say?
I think more, not from a, it's early days, so not from a points total. You know, I'm pretty confident, but I think for confidence and belief in what we're doing is right. You know, we've done this for a few years now. What's worrying to me is the sort of slow start that we seem to have to every game. You know, we either go a goal behind or we wait till we get in at half time and things are changed. This slow start is a little bit of a worry for us. So I think more, not necessarily a must win, but it's not far off, I would say, Chris.
I mean, yeah, do you think, and in answer to your question there, Terry, Wizard and Chips for me, this time last season, I think we were sat in fifth. The season before, we were sat in fourth, and we've had a couple of seasons where we've been in that top bracket, if you like, for, as we all know, virtually every week apart from the last week of the season, which is the one that counts. Do you think it is going to be better this year that we're kind of coming up from behind rather than looking over our shoulders and worrying about dropping out? This time it's up to us to catch, you know, because I think the top four... Well, probably to Brighton's there, but is it going to be different?
I think it's a different kind of pressure, isn't it? Because in many ways, we would probably put the pressure on ourselves from the off last season and the season before with us being top four. I think last season particularly, top four all the way until the last game.
Yeah.
So that's a different kind of pressure. Now it's can we work our way? It's almost like being at the back of the field during the Grand National and you've got to slowly work your way through. But trust in what you're doing, trust the horse under you, as it were. We've got to trust the players, we've got to trust the manager that over the course of the season, excuse me, that they'll get the job done. You know, we're in a lot of competitions, which sort of adds to it a little bit. So if we get further into those competitions and the top six is looking like it may be a stretch, then it'll be interesting to see if we start to... do preferential treatment on certain competitions. But I think we're not far away. I think it's frustrating that we've seen in patches that we can play really well. I mean, the goal we scored against Brighton was fantastic goal, that one-touch football. It's in there.
That the one that was allowed, was it?
That was the one that was allowed, yeah. But from... We're just... It's taking too long for us to get into our striding games. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, we're playing football almost like Muhammad Ali, you know, who will just sort of dart around the ring, just keeping, trying to keep his opponent at arm's length, tire themselves out, and then come in with a knockout blow, which is fine. Yeah. But as long as they don't land a couple on you first, and at the minute, that's what we're doing, and we're giving ourselves catch-up.
Yeah, I said this to Dan on last night's show, is that, we probably need to hit them very quickly and get an early goal because of the situation they're in. And like you say, it's probably more important for them to try and get something from tomorrow's game. I mean, he admitted he would take a point last night. So if we can get that early goal, not their confidence, they've then got to come at us. I think it could be quite a bit of a cricket score tomorrow. But, you know, this is Sean Dyche's Burnley. If they get that old early goal against us, we could find it really, really hard to sort of get back in the game.
Yeah, although I think in recent games, particularly, I think the one last year, I think we went behind to a Chris Wood header that would obviously have been ruled off if it was any of our players. but we can manage to come back in that game. But yeah, you're right. You know, they set themselves up. I don't think any Burnley fan or Burnley player should be ashamed of it. And it annoys me a little bit when Burnley gets sort of tagged with this long ball brush, as it were. They play to the strengths of the players they've got. Thanks, Terry.
I'd forgotten actually as well, Terry. So thank you very much as well.
Yeah, I've got them in this week. But yeah, I mean, Burnley play to their strengths, and you know, it's not all just long ball stuff. But if that's your where your strength is, you know, keep the ball away from your own goal and build from there. Then fair play to them.
Yeah,
they're not. You know, I think they've improved over the years. Each season, they seem to play a little bit more football, and they've been in the Premier League a few seasons now. So, fair play to them. But you're never going to get an easy game against Burnley. But if you put them on paper, I'm not sure how many Burnley players would get into the Leicester team.
No, and I think as well, and it always is. It's one of those football sayings. You know, the first goal is very important. But I think it is because of what I said tomorrow. But just looking at Leicester's start, and I guess as a fan, I'm no different to everybody else. The better we do each season, the better I want us to do. When we're in the Premier League under Martin O'Neill, you know, if we finish 9th, 10th, that was great. Now, if we don't finish 5th or 6th, because we have been doing, I'll be disappointed. But when I looked at the start that we'd been given this season, you know, I guess, and following on from the last two seasons, that I was hoping for a lot more. I mean, you know, if you look at our games, we had Wolves, we had West Ham, we had Norwich, we had Manchester City. That was probably the one given. Brighton and Hove Albion, Burnley, Crystal Palace. All right, then we've got Man United. Yeah. But, you know, looking at that, those first, so you say, 10 games, I would be expected to be where Brighton are now.
I think if I was being honest and knowing the teams that how we start and the teams that we played against, I'd have probably been looking for 8 points. I could have seen us getting a draw against Wolves like we did last season. I would hope that we got a win. I would hope that we got a point against West Ham away, whereas we got beat. Norwich, I would expect the 3 points. I think Brighton, I would have expected us to win. So I think that's where the sort of 2 points worse off than we actually are at the moment. So the next couple of games are really important. You know, you've got to be looking at a minimum of 4 points. You know, you've got to keep yourself in and around it because you don't want the added pressure of looking over your shoulder and, you know, almost, you know, putting yourself back into a position of getting to 40 points. You know, that's not where we want to be.
No. Like I say, maybe it's just I'm expecting too much. Yank talking smack. How the devil are you as well, sir? Welcome along. Thanks for joining us from the good old US of A. Hope your meeting went well yesterday. JJ's got to signing another striker here. Vibrancy must start tomorrow, apparently. But JJ, you know, the spell check. But how you got from Inacho to vibrancy on spell check, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I say, don't forget the
I think, to be honest, I think he was talking about the team. We need to have a vibrant start to the game. I think that was the point he was trying to make there, and and I think that's the issue that we've just started slowly. You know, we've started thinking more about just keeping possession than actually going at the opposition and putting them on the back foot. Which it's really difficult to change the pace of a game, you know, in your head until you go behind, and that's what's been happening to us. So, you know, from that early start, you've got to go out there with attitude. And, you know, at the minute, it seems like it's a weakness in Brendan that he can't fire the team up.
Yeah. Or certainly not till the second half. I mean, we've played Burnley 12 times in the Premier League. We're not obviously, that's being a bit unfair, but we are sort of on top with 6 wins and compared to Burnley's 3. 4 of those 6 have been at home, and there's 3 draws. So, you know, it's a game you would probably, no disrespect to Burnley, expect to win. Last season, though, we got the 4-2 against them at the King Power, and we got the 1-1 in the return leg at Burnley, which is always a hard game. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, say, I know it's Burnley, and I'm not being disrespectful, but they are one off the bottom, and you have to look at that. And, you know, I'm in fairness, I've got it totally wrong about Brighton. I thought they'd be down there again this season, and they've had a fantastic start. But looking at where Burnley are and looking at some of their results, which we will do in a minute, if we don't get something out of tomorrow, I'm not going to say, I'm not being stupid and saying Brendan's got to go, anything like that. Of course he hasn't. But you're going to start looking at his choice. Because, I mean, we finished last season, as JJ said earlier, you know, with Iheanacho and Vardy together, which wasn't a Brendan master stroke of picking them. It was purely luck because we had Barnes and Maddison both out at the same time.
Yeah.
But he stumbled upon this formation, which... Mm-hmm. Apart from the odd game against Newcastle, etc., we kept us probably, you know, in European football. And yet, it's like he said, well, yeah, that was brilliant at the end of last season, but I'm going to use it again.
Yeah,
One striker, and that one striker is Jamie Vardy. And we can't say boo against Jamie Vardy because of his history. But if he's not getting the service in that single striker role, what's the point of having a single striker?
I think this is where Brendan's got to show his worth, doesn't he? You know, he's being touted now as a replacement for Barcelona.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
But, you know, to be honest, it'd probably be an easier job for him because I think he's got a less talented squad in many ways at Barcelona than we have. And I think he is finding it hard to get the balance and to not upset players, you know. And this is probably the biggest challenge he's had. And if he's got any idea about getting a bigger job, you know, at Man City or something like that, then he needs to work out how to utilise his squad better. You know, Pep does it all the time. He rotates players. You know, big names will get left out for a game or two and then they'll come back in. And Brenda's got to be ruthless enough to do that. And if it puts a couple of noses out of joint, then so be it. But he's got to find the balance somehow. And it all gone to cock, really, because he's put Barnes back in. And that has shaken it up a little bit. That seems to be that he can't find a way to play Barnes and two strikers. But he needs
to. Could he if he dropped Maddison?
Well, I'm not sure. And you know, we're going to look at a team later on. You look at the balance of it and... It's always, I would say it's predominantly, it's always going to be a back four with Wilf. Indeed, he's sitting in the front. Okay. So that gives you five. If you put in two up front, you've got a midfield of three. And then where do wingers fit in? You can't play two wingers because you'll isolate one player in behind. Maybe you can. Maybe they just have to play a bit narrower when we haven't got the ball, which I think Lookman could probably do that more than Barnes, because I don't think Barnes has that sensibility about tracking back and a defensive mind. So, you know, it could be that he does that, but he plays Perez because he's a bit more of a... He tracks back a bit more, but then he plays Lookman where Barnes would play.
Please don't say
Chris,
that.
Chris, I'm sure you weren't saying that when he banged the first goal in the other week.
Of course not. I'm a football fan. I'm fickle, aren't I? Maybe, as somebody a lot better than me said, we're going to go back to 4-4 bloody 2. Maybe that's what we need to go to. Yank says there, Burnley could get a goal from a set piece. I think you're totally right, which is when we come to score predictions, you'll see what I've gone, which is not too dissimilar to you there, Yank. Andrew Medhurst, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Will Chris Woods come back and haunt us? Most definitely, he always does. He likes a goal against us, does Wood.
Of course, he hasn't scored this season, I don't think. So,
And you know, guys, we always get Wood sort of mid-afternoon on a Saturday, don't we? But let's move on. And Andrew agrees with me there. 4-4-2 won us the league. Indeed, it did. Now, we are going to pick a team later, so that will be interesting. And I was glad to see that he picked Lookman midweek, as I suggested, and he scored. But, you know, the fact that Brendan listens to me and not you, Craig, is not here. But form going into this game. There we've got Leicester's form. Two wins in five. Like I say, Man City, it was a given, I think, really. Mm-hmm. The thing was, though, I think, you know, that Man City was probably, and you were there, that was probably our best performance in the league.
I think our two best performances have been, Man City and Napoli. You know, and I saw Napoli won again the other week. They've won all five in the Italian league and sitting at the top. And the fact that we gave them a hell of a game says a lot. And you know, that's about, I think that fits into Brendan's planning more, though, that teams that come on to us and we play on the break doesn't work against the lesser teams, to be honest. Mm. I could take that, Andrew. Yeah, I'd struggle to do this show, which would be a bind. But, you know, I'd have
you get less money at Barcelona, the state they're in, mate. You don't get any from this.
I know.
Terry Fuller says here, the joke today, that's the wrong one. Smack says, do you think the team that starts better wins, or is this a game that could go either way till the second half? Mm. I think we're Leicester this season, Craig. It's always been a tale of two halves, hasn't it?
I think so. I think I spoke a couple of weeks ago that Brendan seems to be looking at the squad and looking at 90 minutes rather than the starting 11. You know, I think he's got in his mind the way he wants the game to go. And that might very well be that you stay in it until 45 minutes. And if you nick a goal, great. But then he makes tactical changes that turns the game our way. And if that works every week, then that's great. It doesn't work so much when you let a second goal in just after half time, like we did at Brighton. But by all accounts, after that, we absolutely battered them. And we won't talk about those three little letters. But no. But, you know, so I think sometimes I think Brendan just overthinks, you know. I think he, rather than just letting the players go out there and express themselves and play, I think in the modern game you can overcoach players. You put too much information into their heads, and they're thinking about, okay, when this happens, I've got to be here. When that happens, I've got to track him back. I've got to do this, that, and the other. Whereas in years gone by, I think under Claudio, somebody just touched on there that we won the league with 4-4-2. I don't think there was a lot of tactical brilliance going on there. I think he had a team that he knew would do a job, and he put them on the pitch and let them play.
I was going to say, was football simpler under Martin O'Neill than it is under Brendan Rodgers?
I think so. I think we've allowed ourselves to just coach. You know, it's become a tactical, over-tactical game, to be honest. And you see, that's probably why there's not many sort of avant-garde players like, you know, Jack Grealish, you can see, has lost a little bit for me since he's gone to Man City. He gets the ball and he seems to want to dart inside every time. Whereas at Villa, he would pop up wherever he wants. He would get the ball. He would just run at players. I think it's being coached out of them, you know, that the just go out and do yourself. You know, they're like going back to, you know, the likes of Ginola and Chris Waddle, where you just say, get the ball to them and let them do something. Yeah. Now it's all about what do you do when you don't have the ball? And I understand you have to defend, but it just seems to be a little bit over tactical for me, football these days.
Going back to the form here, Burnley's form, and I hopefully Dan's still watching because we're going to be coming on for the one to watch in a minute. But if he is, I apologise for bringing this graphic up. But it doesn't look good. I mean, in the basement battle, they even let me down and when they lost to Arsenal. Thanks, Burnley. Liverpool, well, again, you know, they went a goal down. Sorry, Everton, sorry. They went a goal down and absolutely came back at Burnley, and Burnley and Dan was admitting yesterday just have no plan B. And we say that sometimes about Brendan, but Sean Dyche seems to have one plan. And let's face it, it's got him a new 4-year contract. They've managed to get a point off Leeds. They lost to Liverpool, which might be a given for them, and lost to Brighton. So it has been a horrendous start to the season, you know, even by Burnley standards. Because in fairness, you know, we're looking at that and we're looking in the 1 point and the one off bottom. And they'll probably be thankful that Norwich got promoted last season to keep them up there in that position. But you know, they've had some good years. They were, let's be honest with you, in our position a few years ago, playing in the Europa League.
They were, you know, and I think the thing is, isn't it, that teams develop, and I think Burnley have been held back a little bit by the lack of investment. Obviously, they have new owners, so investment's starting to come in. I think that allowed them to pick up one or two players in the recent window that will make a difference. And I think it's going to be interesting, to be honest, to see how Sean Dyche copes with having some money. And being able to go out and buy a bit more flair, as it were, not as much flair as is in your trousers, but a little bit of on pitch flair.
You'd be surprised what's in my trousers, Greg.
Yeah. Sorry, but I think, you know, it's we talked about it being a challenge for Brendan. It's definitely a challenge for Sean Dyche now that he's got a long term contract. He's got new owners who are prepared to back him. The team has to develop because you've got to start getting in some better players. So I think it's going to be a year of transition for Burnley. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the January window. But I think he's got to find that blend. And I think a few teams have gone down that route, and it's been a struggle for them. But, you know, for the sake of football and the fact that the smaller clubs and no offense, obviously, Dan, you know, Burnley is a smaller club in terms of its stature and finances, it's nice that they can actually hang around in the Premier League for quite a while, and it's not all about money. But be interested to see what he does, Sean.
Yeah, it will be indeed. And we'll look at the season so far straight after this.
It's the Premier League Preview Show with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
So, Not great stats for either of us, to be honest with you. 12th against 19th. We've won two. They haven't won any. They managed to get the one draw. They've lost one more than us, but only the one more. Average goals scored per match. I mean, you know, when you look at our team now, when you look at that is one. And, you know, you could argue we won the league 1-0, 1-0 toward, you know, in the latter half. But that needs to improve, doesn't it?
Definitely. And I think it's the number of chances created isn't great as well. I can't
say that.
I mean, I can't help looking at that Burnley's position and stats there very closely match Dan in the quiz table, but that's another point.
You don't have a dig often, but my God, when you do, that spade goes in a long way.
I know he can take it. But yeah, it's the number of chances that we're creating is the issue for me, you know, because. Wolves are going through a dodgy period at the minute. They can't finish, but they're creating a hell of a lot of chances. We know with the players that we've got in that squad, if we create more chances, we're going to finish some of them. So that's the issue at the moment, you know. And the second half of that, or the last 30, 35 minutes of the Brighton game, we created a hell of a lot of chances, you know. And that's the issue. We didn't do it again against Millwall. We didn't create a lot of chances. I think we had one shot off target in the first half. So he's got to do that. We've got to get back to creating chances, and he's got to get that blend right somehow.
I mean, like you say, I mean, chances created per match, and we, with our squad, are 0.6, which is, you know, compared to Burnley, who are at the bottom, haven't had a win yet. And they're 1.6. And our biggest win is a 2-1 win. It just doesn't read excitingly, does it?
It's not. And, you know, we could have been on 6 points in a very, very different way. You know, who's to say that if we'd have gone out a bit more gung-ho, we wouldn't have had, you know, at least 6 points. So if you're going to play this style of football, this possession football, and possession is your main thing, you've got to get results on the back of it. You know, you can't do this and not be creating chances, because it will be pointless.
Indeed. So, I'm just looking because I think Dan's gone. He's going to watch a boxing match tonight in Accrington. it's his brother-in-law. Good luck.
Yeah,
it's a bit. It's a bit like watching Millwall versus Charlton or somebody boxing.
Millwall
match.
Versus anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't hear of anything the other night. So I presume maybe the Glaziers. As in the window repairers, not the Man United owners. The Glaziers had a quiet night, but
I think they were all bored to sleep.
Yeah, probably. And Dan, just let you know, thoughts are with you, mate, with your news recently. So hope that all works out well. But one to watch that you've picked out here, and you were saying that if Dan was still in, what would he think about this? I'm going to admit to you that why I'm saying this, he's picked the same player from Burnley,
right, okay.
Maxwell Cornet. So he would have agreed had he still been here and not going being off to Millwall. Tell us about this. He's a new signing.
They picked him up from Lyon, so he's got decent pedigree, and he cost them 15 million euros. Which is a decent signing for Burnley. He's 24. He's a left wing back. Can be a left winger, but I think he's predominantly has been played as a wing back, an attacking wing back. Played for every age group for France, from under 16 to under 21s, and then switched allegiance to the country of his birth, which is the Ivory Coast, or as you would call them, Côte d'Ivoire.
Of course I would.
Played 22 times.
With my links with Ryan Bertrand, of course.
Exactly. So played 22 times for them. Very energetic player, very direct. I would liken him to Pereira for us, in that he's strong in the tackle, but he loves to get forward, puts in a great cross. But he hasn't made a league start yet. He was involved in two of the goals that they scored in the Carabao Cup the other night. So it may be, you know, again, it could be one of those where Burnley players are now expecting him to start the game. But then we've expected Iheanacho or Patson Daka or Samari to start games, and they haven't been. So Sean is bedding him in slowly, shall we say. But I think the fact that he got a start in the Carabao Cup and had a really strong game, and he was the guy that everybody seemed to be talking about, I think he may get his start. And interestingly enough, because he plays down the side where they I can't remember his name now, their other best player that they've got plays down that left hand side as well. So it could be a tough time for Ricardo or Castagna, whoever plays down that right side. But he looks an exciting prospect for sure.
I think as I said, Dan was excited by his purchase and his performances. It would be an understatement. So yeah. I think you've picked the right one there. Devils United TV, Maisie, how the devil are you? I can say that, you see, because she's Devils United. Get over there, give her a subscribe. Great channel. Man United fan, but she does a lot of general content as well. Worth getting over there and subscribing. We're going to sort of look at a team in a minute, but I was saying before about how the start had been quite easy. And I don't have to be looking back and regretting it. But when you're looking at the games that we've got coming up, you know, we've got the next week, we've got like two games a week. We've got away to Legia Warsaw, then Palace away, which isn't probably going to be as easy as I probably thought early on. Then we've got some northern team whose manager sort of, you know, doesn't get any further than a semi, and it apparently disappoints his wife a lot. And then we've got Spartak Moscow away. This is why I think, you know, Burnley is almost a must win game for us.
It definitely is a massive game because, you know, I mean, obviously Brendan and all the fans, everybody, players were devastated really that we dropped the points against Napoli, which would have put us in a much better position. So we can't go out there to Warsaw thinking of anything other than a victory. And then, as you say, you know, you want to be going there on the back of a morale boosting, a morale boosting victory over Burnley, and then back into a tough game at Palace. So, you know, it's been said before, you know, there are no easy games, and even though, you know, these are the teams who are in the bottom half of the table, you know, particularly going away, they're going to be tough games. So Palace is always a tough game. And we've been turned over there as many times as we've won. Yeah. So it's a big few weeks for the club, but also for Brendan.
Yeah. And I mean, all joking aside, you know, Man United is going to be a massive game because, you know, a lot of people have got them as probable winners, to be honest with you. And, you know, they've got He Who Walks on Water has returned. And, you know, they've made some big signings. And, you know, I joke about Man United, et cetera, as I just did them. But, you know, a big season for them. And I think if they are going to do it, it's going to be this season. So those next four games are really, and that's why, as I say, I think doubly why I'm disappointed with where we are with the games that we've had.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. And as you say, you know, the more you look at the games coming up, then the more important this one is. And it will be interesting to see what he does team-wise and selection based on, you know, those who did well against Millwall.
Yeah. Talking of that, let's have a look at choosing a possible team. And we'll be back straight after this. I don't know whether these things work or not. They're not working at my end, I'll tell you. But, we used to do this last season. You used to pick a team last season, but I think we're doing it slightly. We're not going to do it this season, but it seems to kind of quite go well. And anybody that's watching, let us know if you agree with our pick, because we're going to do it between us, Craig and me. The first thing, of course, we've got to do is select the formation. Now, I quite fancied Cameron Diaz, but that's another story totally. I went for, I think the nearest, because they haven't got... Well, I quite like this. This was the one I think I was going for, a 4-1-2-1-2. Because I would like to see him play with two up front against Burnley. Okay. Would you?
Let's go with that.
Yeah. I just think, as I say, looking at that and looking at Burnley, we need to get at them and we need to sort of get the goals in. I think we can say almost without a doubt at the, you know, in goal, we're going to be starting with Jupukovic, aren't we?
I like you because I just like the way you say it.
I'm not saying, why am I saying it wrong?
I didn't say you're saying it wrong. I think it's one of those that I would go with Jakubovic, but Jakubovic either way is fine, because we know it's not going to be him. So
exactly. Oh, good old Eld in there. You know.
I'd like you to close your eyes and try and spell Schmeichel.
I'm getting you. He's been with us a few years now. I'm getting a bit easier with that. No, I think it's going to be Kasper back. I mean, Danny, he didn't do anything wrong, did he? But
no.
In fact, Adam had a reasonably good game, and we know he's, you know, had it gone to penalties. He's quite good at those. But we're certainly going to see Schmeichel back, are we not?
Yes, I would think so.
Now then, shock horror. That's the one we'll probably agree on. Let's start. We'll go sort of as if we were Schmeichel. So the left back. Now, again, Luke Thomas didn't do anything particularly wrong, but I would like to see Ryan Bertrand come back into the team.
I would agree with you, Chris. I think across this back four, we know it's going to be physical.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to be putting Bertrand in there for a bit of experience as well. And you know, he's what he's probably classed at his age as a wily old professional.
Yeah. Running on the lines of what I call you sometimes. Or Dan's mother, but then that's for the joke for last night. I just think as well, when you normally play these teams towards the bottom, you can usually say, right, well, we should win, and you know, maybe we can bring a few of the youngsters in.
Yeah.
But I just think with the games that are coming up and the way that we've had the season start, we've got to look at this and we've got to really... It's a statement that we're going to make tomorrow, I think, if we do. Now, next to Bertrand, for me, I would have Vestergaard.
I agree with you again, Chris.
Yes. I'm not sure who he is, but they've got a very, very... Well, I think he stand up against Chris Wood because probably he will start and he does like a goal against us, doesn't he? He does. So now then, this is going to be interesting because... Evans is apparently fit enough to come back in.
Yeah.
But is it too soon for him to have two games so close when he's just coming back? And for that reason, and the fact that he has done really well, and if you remember, I wanted to drop Soyuncu when he was struggling early in the season. I said, give him a break.
Yeah.
But I think since Brendan's moved him over to that right-hand side, and as you made the very good point, a few weeks ago, that he's had to go back to just doing the basics and cutting out all his fancy, you know, Brazilian and Cruyff manoeuvres. For me, I would not have Evans in there, but I would have Soyuncu.
Worryingly, Chris, I agree with you again.
this is getting a little bit worrying. Can I just say, I'm so glad that this is on tape that I can actually have proof. You are agreeing with me.
I think it's going to be physical. We know Johnny Evans is a great professional and he can talk the others through the game. But there's a couple of things. I am a little bit worried about how much pressure can go onto that heel of Johnny Evans. I'm not sure he's got a run of games in him anymore. I think he will be used sparingly. And part of me thinks that may be why Soyuncu was moved across as well, to see whether these two could form a partnership, because Brendan knows that Johnny's not going to get back to his full fitness. So he's going to have to pick and choose games. But I also think Evans just slows the game down too much for me. And when we're talking about getting the ball out, you know, we insist on playing out from the back. But if we're going to play out from the back, then we've got to play it out quicker. And for me, Evans is too liable to not take a risk and he'll just go side to side. So for all those reasons, I agree with you and Soyuncu.
I think I'm going to just throw another reason in on the back of your reasons. And you can never have too many reasons, can you? The fact that you said there... he hasn't got a run of games in him, Johnny Evans. And, you know, because of his heel, how it would hold up. And I probably have to agree 100% with you on that, and which is why I think if he's going to play Evans, it might be against Warsaw.
I agree for that bit of experience over there.
Yeah.
I mean, I must admit, I'm not au fait with Warsaw and whether they've got any speedy attackers. If they have got fast attackers, that may be an issue as well, because we saw Evans get caught out a lot against Napoli. He was struggling there against pace. So again, I think that's another thing that Rodgers may look at, and it could be that he decides that Warsaw are a team that have got a lot of pace up front. Burnley aren't, that he goes down the other way and switches it around that way. But I think he'll be looking at sort of two game modules almost for his centre-back pairings.
Yes. Now then, this is where we might disagree, and that's in the right back position. I think Piera will come back in. He didn't play against Millwall again, so he's had that bit of a rest. And I think, you know, we're very lucky that we've got Piera, we've got Castagna. Castagna, as we know, can play either side. So if anything happens to Bertrand, he's there to fill in, or if Piera as well. But I think Piera's pace down that right-hand side, he's looked good when he's played in the last few games, Piera. So for me, I would go for Piera over Castagna for this game.
Yeah. I would agree again, Chris. I think there's more pace. I think Pereira has more pace than Castagna. I do like Castagna. I know Andrew's gone for Castagna there, but he's also gone for Evans. But I think Pereira gets forward more. He makes an extra man in attack. But if we're looking at potentially that side being the strongest side for Burnley, particularly if Cornet plays, then I think that recovery pace of Pereira is all important.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I think, again, we're going to go for five in a row here, because I think we're going to agree on the holding midfielder there, aren't we?
In
Hamza Choudhury. Yes.
Yeah. I'm ahead of you there, mate.
You were ahead of me there, very, very much so, very much so. It's got to be Wolf, hasn't it? Although I must admit, his last couple of performances I was too telepathic. We've been called a lot worse. We've definitely been called a lot worse, Andrew.
Telepathetic, I think.
Yeah. That's it. Definitely. He has worried me. I mean, the sending off again was just ridiculous. There was no need for that. I mean, I know it was in Europe, but, you know, he's sending a player off in the 94th minute. That referee was just sponsored by Clinton's, wasn't he?
He was, but players do have to take responsibility, and it was a stupid thing to do. Yeah. He knows he's on a booking. He knows there's another player. I think Luckman was ahead of him and won the ball anyway, so... I know it probably went through his head that there's no way I can let him go because we don't want to lose the game. But, I mean, come on, he was still 50 yards from goal. I thought it was a poor decision by Ndidi.
Yeah. Now then, here's where it's going to get interesting. On the left there, let's try for 7 in a row. I had to count them then. Barnes, are you going for there?
I'm not sure. It depends if those two, whoever else you put on the right-hand side, if they're going to play as wingers. If they're going to play as wingers, then the centre's a little bit exposed. But, you know, it could work. I'm not sure.
So who would you put there?
I would potentially play Luckman down that side, down the left hand side. To be honest,
excuse me. Yeah. I was going to include Luckman in, but
is the thing.
I mean, I was going to have Luckman there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I was going to do.
Yeah. Put in who you were having in that diamond, Chris, and then let me put that
diamond, and then you can pull me to pieces. So I'm going to have Harvey Barnes there. I was going to have Perez did come into my thoughts, but I'm going to go for Luckman. Here I'm going to go for Tielemans.
Yeah.
Give him a bit of a roving role, if you like. Bit more up front, but a bit more where, you know, you've got the freedom of the pitch, basically, Yuri. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's what quarterbacks do, but anyway, you know, he can play around. So that was going to be my, like, midfield, if you like, diamond. Yeah. I don't know whether sort of difference you'd go for with that.
I can say the only thing I was thinking of is maybe that you would put Luckman where Barnes is and maybe play Samari so he can sort of be a bit of a link. You know, almost Luckman played as a 10 who could go either side, right or left, as a free roll to just go and find space, essentially, on the break. Just look where the space is and then go and attack it with his pace. So that would have been the only other way that you've almost got Ndidi sitting, Tielemans and Samare in front of him, and then a free roll almost for Luckman to just go and exploit space. But I can't really argue strongly against what you've got there either.
No. I mean, the only thing I think with Luckman as well, and all joking aside, that sort of I did say, you know, put him on the pitch against Millwall. I just think, and I am Andrew, don't you dare say that. I'll bring that up in a minute. And it's put me off what I was going to say. Let me bring this up first, and then I'll have a think about what I was going to say, because the shock was, where are you going to fit Gazelle in? But we can't fit him in anywhere because we've sold him, haven't we?
Yeah, we sold him. So he's playing in Turkey. So unfortunately,
and getting the good stuff in, apparently. Did the diamond work last week? I think it did eventually, didn't it? Did we play Diamond last week?
I'm not sure he knows what the hell he's playing, to be honest. Right. I mean, what did work is when Luckman came on and linked up really well with Pereira. So so that would work with that formation that you got there. I mean, maybe we just need to be a little bit more. You know, we've talked earlier about us being more forward thinking. This is certainly more forward thinking, that you've got two midfield players there who you want to get forward and support the two that we've got in attack already. So, maybe we need to just trust our defensive five to defend and not ask them to do more than that. You know, and I think sometimes you get so hooked up on the fullbacks need to be reinforcing attackers. How about they just defend and allow the attacking players to attack?
It's a very, very, very good point. And what I was going to say was, I know I was joking about putting Luckman in against Millwall. I just think with Luckman, and my fear is that I'm building this guy up to be so good, and I thought that with Under last season. And I think I said to you, the problem was that by this point he'd peaked, and it was downhill from then on. But I just think Luckman, when he's come on, He's added something to the team. He's wanted to get go forward. He's not wanted to go sideways. He's wanted to go. You know, he's had a goal disallowed. He's scored a goal. I just think he's exciting to watch, and we shouldn't stifle that. If we've got a player like that, he's almost, if you like, what Maddison should be like. But we know that Maddison can be, but he isn't, and. Is it Luckman or is it Perez? To me, there's no option. I think he'll bring Perez back in because he's available now, unfortunately. But I just want to see more of Luckman at the moment. He is exciting me.
I agree. I mean, the only reason I would potentially drop Perez in there is because that's probably what Brendan will do. Again, he's all about what players can do off the ball. He seems to think more about what they can do off the ball in terms of getting back into a defensive position than what they can do on the ball. And we know that Luckman's a really exciting player, and he's one of those who still plays without fear. He doesn't care that he may lose the ball two or three times. Whereas if that happened to Under, you notice that Under's shoulders dropped. Whereas with Luckman, he'll just go again because he believes in himself. So, definitely an exciting prospect. I mean, if you got him and Barnes at the peak of their games just running at players, then that would be a hell of an exciting team.
I think Barnes, you know, Napoli, he got one and set one up, you know. He's almost looking back to his form. And that, like I say, it really, really does excite me. And having the two up front, which we'll come on to now, I think, you know, I just think it's so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, with that formation, you could drop Tielemans a little bit deeper. So he does do a bit of a reinforcement job with Ndidi. Yeah. He's like a more creative second sitter. And he likes that, you know. But then when they look forward, they've got four players. you know. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've talked about this with Maddison, that when he looks forward, he's never had that. So it would be a little bit unfortunate for Maddison if all of a sudden we go to this formation and he's the one who misses out. But as I said before, you know, Brendan has to make some tough choices. But
he does. He does. And why have
this would be an exciting lineup?
Yeah, why have these attacking players and not use them? You know, that's the question. And I would love to know. Samari is very much a box-to-box player. So he, you know, he's got that defensive role in him as well. But then for me, if I'm going to drop Samari in a league game, I'm dropping either Ndidi or I'm dropping Tillemans. And I don't know if I can do that to accommodate him at the moment, you know.
I agree. I think if we can get control of the game, then again, Samari is a great player to bring on and maintain that control if you're one or two goals up.
Yes. And for me, that formation as well is going to get at Burnley. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want to let them into the game, if you like, because, you know, they're going to be looking for the points more than us. Now, as I say, I know that Perez will almost certainly come back in tomorrow. Even Maddison, you know, whether Maddison is undroppable, whether Perez is undroppable, you know, we could argue. I don't think any player should be undroppable, but this is the team that we would go for. Now, up front, I think we've got to go for Vardy, haven't we? I mean, I'd like to say Daka, but let me put both of them in there, because I think if you're going to have Iheanacho on there, and yes, he's obviously played with Daka the other night, but I just think those two together did so well at the end of last season. Yeah. They've got the understanding already that probably Iheanacho and Daka hasn't. And Jamie's had a rest as well. He didn't play midweek. He didn't even travel down. So
you know, what happens there is, you know, I think those two like almost working the other way. So I think they have a natural instinct. So Vardy would drift left. Iheanacho would drift right. Which means they're both coming inside on their stronger feet. But also what that creates is that hole for Tielemans. And we saw that a few times last season when he was playing that formation, that you had Iheanacho, you had Vardy, they're both up front, but they both pull wide. And very often they take two players away, which leaves a hole for Tielemans to stride through. And he did that a few times. I remember particularly in the Man U Cup game where he went forward and smacked one into the bottom corner because those two players are occupying the centre half on their side and the fullback. And so unless they've got a switched on defensive mid, then it creates a space for them. So, you know, it could work all round that.
Neil, welcome along. Leicester City site, Beyond the 90. Get over there, give them a sub and a like as well. It's always great to have other Leicester channels popping on. I think to be honest with you, I think Craig answered your question there, Neil, very much so. And we were having Tielemans in this roaming role, really, weren't we, where he can play. He's got no limitations on where he can go. And, you know, you've got a player like Tielemans, like you say, that we know what he can do when he's released to do it, you know. Yeah. And sometimes, and you made this point earlier, does Brendan, as a manager, wring this individualism, this excitement, this flair out of players to have the, and we play nice tippy-tappy football, but, you know, it's...
You do get the feeling with Brendan, it's more about structure, formation and possession rather than flair and just playing with... I would say the most exciting team to watch in the Premier League at the moment is West Ham.
Yeah.
Because they play the way that I would like us to play.
Yes.
We've got better players than West Ham, but they're given that freedom to just get on the ball, get it forward, get it into the players who can make something happen, and then go and support them. You know, they have a solid back line, you know, nothing amazing. They have Declan Rice who sits in there. And then their version of Tielemans is probably Benrahma now. They've got Souček who adds a little bit more in there as well. But they're confident enough. And I think Moyes would be almost not accepting, but he knows that there may be games where they're going to concede two or three. But he backs his forward players to go and score three or four.
Yes, he does. Neil says, is Barnes coming back to form? I think we saw against Napoli that that he is, to be honest with you. I think he, you know, he's taking his time, but I think now, you know, he is back. Scott says here, good evening, Scott. How the devil are you, sir? Scott. Welcome along. Hope you're both well. As much as I agree with this lineup, frankly, think Perez will start and probably Maddison. Well, yeah, but this isn't for what we've done this different this time, and obviously what you weren't in when we brought this up, but we're actually going for the team that we want to play rather than the team we think Brendan will play. Because, yes, if we pick the team that we think Brendan will play, as Craig said earlier, you're going to see Perez in there, almost undoubtedly, and possibly Maddison. And, you know, I love Maddison. I think he's, you know... You know, you just keep going back to that Man City game last season and that goal he scored. That's what he can offer. That's what he can bring to a game. But unfortunately, at the moment, he's not bringing it to the game. And but I just you've got to go on form, I'm afraid. I think
Maddison is a victim of just what we've talked about before about Brendan instilling in his players that you have to think about the defensive side of the game as well. And, you know, we've seen this with players down the years, not just our players, but lots of players. If they're given a free rein to actually go and play, then they can express themselves. Yes. If half of Maddison's thinking is, well, if I go and make that run, I won't be in position if the ball breaks down and then I'll get a bollocking for it.
Yeah.
If you're going to play Maddison, you've got to give him a free roll. And that's basically what he had against Man City. He was up there picking the ball up, sort of 25 yards from goal and making things happen, not pushed out wide on the right and then he's got to track a fullback or whatever. That's not Maddison's game. And I think, I think Brendan's doing him a disservice.
Good evening, Anthony. Thanks for joining us. How the devil are you? Arsenal fan, he beat them last week, but we never keep a clean sheet. We don't, you're quite right. And they do well with set pieces. We don't necessarily do well with set pieces, but hopefully with Vestergaard in the back four, that might change. Forgive me if I've already asked you this, because I wrote it down and I'm not sure whether I actually asked you or whether we sort of went off on a different track. But are we now seeing what I would call the Liverpool Brendan, where he's got that many good players that he doesn't know what to do with them, if you like, you know? And
Potentially, although I think that Liverpool team was pretty much picked itself most weeks. You know, you got Suarez up front. I think he had Coutinho and he had Gerrard. And I think, to be honest, if you got those three, it doesn't really matter what you put around him. And it was only the fact that that Gerrard went out in his slippers accidentally in that game against Chelsea that they lost the league, to be fair. That and then, you know, there was early signs of the Brendan Bottler when against Crystal Palace when they lost. I think for me, there's still, you know, Brendan is almost like fated as this next superstar manager. But for me, he still has questions to answer as to whether he can get the best out of players. Yeah, he can develop players and he can get them to keep the ball. Can he get them to go and express themselves and play to their full potential? I think we'll know a lot more about Brendan by the end of the season.
Yeah. B-Crom, good evening. How the devil are you? He 100% agrees with us. Scott, it's awkward when you come in late because we've covered these points, but you do make the point there. You'd have Sumari and KDH in there, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. Yeah, good shouts, and obviously football is all about opinions. What we were saying with the choice that we've gone for is purely the fact that it's not a must-win game, because we said it wasn't a must-win game for us. It probably is for Burnley, but we need to win this game. You know, we need the confidence. This is Burnley, and I say no disrespect to Burnley, but they are one off the bottom. They've only got 1 point this season so far. We've got some tough games coming up, and we need to start winning games. And, you know, those guys have got the experience to do that for us. Anthony says he's fine. He won £450 on Wednesday. with Leicester being one of the two. You keep rubbing that in, Anthony. You keep rubbing that in. Where's our share?
Well, where was did he put the tip in the on the Facebook page?
I'm going to say, he didn't. But also, if you're watching on YouTube, well, you are watching on YouTube, Anthony. There's a little S at the bottom with like a dollar sign. Click on that, and you can make a donation to Leicester Till I Die. So maybe not the full 450 quid. I will accept that. Maybe 400. But feel free to share some of your winnings around. As of course, we would the same with you as an Arsenal fan. That little S. Press that little S button. And, of course, anybody else who wishes to support us. Time to end, but we can never end without guessing what the score is going to be. Following on from the fact that we've agreed with each other for most of that team, I think this is probably the most we've ever got on, Craig.
I think so. Probably right.
This is how the scores are looking on the doors for the X-Foxes and myself this week. I have gone for 3-1 to Leicester because I do believe we do concede goals. We do concede goals from set pieces. Like I said, hopefully Vestergaard is going to help us cut that out. So I think we will concede, but I think we will get a few goals. It could possibly be more. So I've gone for Craig's famous 3-1. Marshy Ian Marshall and even Steve Linex, who always goes against Leicester, and Ian Marshall have all gone for 2-0. And Steve Walsh and Jerry Taggart have both gone for 2-1. And Jerry, I hope you're enjoying your holiday in Turkey, mate. I'm not jealous at all. So, but enjoy it. Don't get stuffed, as they say. But Craig, what are you going to go for? Because I pinched you 3-1.
Yeah, you have stolen my 3-1. I've got a sneaky feeling, and I always go with the same score that I've put in the long ball predictions game. So I do stick with that. Yeah. You've not.
Well, I like to think that if I mix it up a bit, then I can at least come round and go, well, I was right, but you don't know which one I was right on.
That is true, but that tells me that you haven't got the courage of your convictions, Chris. You're just edging your bets.
I would agree with you now, definitely. Yeah.
So I've gone with the score that I've put in there, and I think I'm going to go for a repeat of last season, 4-2.
4-2. Wow. Really, really bold statement there. Scott is asking you, Craig, do you think that whoever doesn't play on Saturday will play on Thursday?
I think he will definitely be more defensively minded on Thursday to try and grind out a victory. So it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, if those players. But I think the undroppables in this team are Ndidi and Tielemans out of any midfield. I think it's just a case of who he plays around them, whether it's one up front, whether it's two up front. But for me, that axis of Ndidi and Tielemans, I don't think he drops at all. They may get taken off, but I don't think he drops them. I think it's who he plays around it. But it wouldn't surprise me if Samare and Perez play in that game.
Yeah. Also, I think as well, you can say Ndidi and Tielemans are undroppable. I think, yes, they are. I agree. Again, I agree with you, but, you know, but I think because they're consistently on form.
Yeah.
Something that Perez and something that definitely Maddison isn't. So, yes, and I think, you know, we looked earlier, Scott, and we said, you know, we've got Burnley, then we've got Warsaw, then we've got Palace, then we've got whoever the other one is, Moscow and Man United, all coming up. There's two games a week. So, yeah, we've got a big squad. We've wanted a big squad for ages. We've got that depth now. We've got to start using it, you know. And don't forget, everybody, that just going back, we have a bit of fun. We're guessing the scores here. And as always, I've got to say thank you to the ex-players for joining me on this. Keep up with how the table's doing if you really, really have to, because I'm not doing very well this season. But if you do want to check out how the table's looking with those, LeicesterTillIDie.com / last game, and you see the table up there. But we've also got the long ball, which is a bit of a like a Super Six. It's, you know, you don't have to sort of pick your teams. It's not fantasy football. It's just a score prediction game. We're only six games in, so you can still join. Go to thelongball.net, sign up. It's free. There's no charge, no weekly fee or anything like that. It's just fun. Ian Marshall helps run it, so it's got the Leicester connection. He's in our table as well. There's a Leicester City group, and then there's the Leicester Till I Die group. Ian Marshall's in our group, and we're only five or six games in. I've missed a week. Craig's missed a week. A few people joined later, so it is still all to play for. And I am doing, I'm going to admit, I don't know about you, Craig, I am doing a bit of a Leicester City here, because I was second up until this week, and I've dropped down to fourth.
Yeah, well, as you know, that I didn't put any scores in at all last week, and I didn't put in I joined it a week late as well. So basically, I've missed 2 weeks and I'm only 4 points behind you. So, you know, read into that what you will.
Read into that that you know a hell of a lot more than I do, Craig. And I will not deny that at all. Craig, as always, sir, it's been a pleasure. I presume you're going tomorrow.
I will be there. Who couldn't miss watching Burnley play live?
I know. Do me a favor, I was just saying to Dan, and because obviously there's this huge rivalry with Blackburn. I can remember, and I went to one, it was a night game, I think, or it was dark, I mean, when we came out, but all the coaches, Burnley coaches, were lined up. And of course, at that part of the stadium, because the coaches are there, you've got a lot of police there. So me being brave, because a lot of the police were there, I think the song I was singing was, "You're Just a Small Town Near Blackburn." As soon as I got further along and the police were getting thinner, I stopped singing.
So, yeah. Doesn't surprise me.
I may look it, but I'm not totally stupid. Scott says, Chris, Steve, got to go through all the names. Has Steve Lyon, it's been a mad one with that prediction. He always backs us to lose. Yeah, but having said that, he got the point against Brighton, so I can't knock him, you know. Terry, enjoy the book, mate, that you got. Read it through. Let me know. Did you get the Gary one or did you get the Barry one? Gary or Barry, I can't remember. Gaz or Baz, let me know. But I hope it's a good read, mate. David says, I wonder if for Brendan, the players he uses is more important than the formation we adopt. Just trying to find where the missing spark is so far outside of players who are coming back. It's a point, I suppose, isn't it?
It is. As I say, I think I just go back to the point where I think he asks them to do too much for me. They're being baffled by what they're asked to do in any given situation. And you've probably got so much going on in your head that you actually forget to go out and play and enjoy it.
Yes. Got to say hello to my daughter here, as always, turns up late. How are you doing, Heather?
Hi, Heather.
She's after something. She's after something. but then again, I think she might be covering all bases here, just in case. Craig is okay. Honestly, I'll cut you out me will, Heather. But hey, have a good time at the match tomorrow. I am very jealous of you that you can now get back to games and get in and see it. Let's hope we're looking at a win. But enjoy it. Sing your heart out for the lads. And thanks as always for everything you do, Craig. And thanks for coming on tonight.
It's a pleasure. Cheers, Chris. Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Craig. You too. Thanks very much to Craig there. Another great show. He really knows his stuff, unlike me, which is why I have him on. Don't forget, we are going to be back on Saturday. Yep, I've got it for Sunday for some reason, but we're playing Saturday. Oh, I used to be good at that. I used to know what I was doing. About 5 o'clock with the post-match show, me and Brad. Let's hope we're going to be talking about 3 points. And then on Monday night, 7 o'clock, Dan will be joining. It will definitely be X-rated then when Dan comes on. And we'll be looking at the opposition review and we're looking back at the game, warts and all, whether we win or lose. And then don't forget, on Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we have got Julian Watts going to be joining us on a regular basis. So it's going to be a weekly show, X on the Pitch. I love that. So proud of myself when I came up with that. When we'll be looking back at everything Leicester City, playing a bit of a catch-up because it's the first one. So you can probably guess what we're going to be talking about, but that's on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Be sure to head on over to YouTube. Remember to subscribe and smash that likes button. It really, really does help the channel. And if you'd like to donate at all, that little dollar sign at the bottom, and you can make a donation to us. Again, it all helps with the running of the channel. Thanks for watching. And also, if you're listening to this, thanks for listening. As always, the podcasts are available about 10 minutes after I come offline. And you can catch us up, or you can find us, I should say, on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, and Podcast Addict. Not easy for me to say. Clean my teeth this morning. Can't do a thing with them. Podcast Addict, to name just a few. Thanks very much. Have a good weekend. If you're going down to the King Power, stay safe and have a good time. And we shall see you after the match. Good night now.
Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for all the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Questions, suggestions, or feedback, head over right now to Twitter and Facebook and like, share, and get involved. Join us next time.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.